Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
Way out in West Texas, where the Clear Fork waters flow.
It's Barbecue Nation with JT on a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now here's JT on FM News 101.
And the prairie dogs are sneezing and freezing.
Hey, everybody. We are just 5 days from Christmas. That's right. And if you've not made your menu for your Christmas dinner, you're, well, I won't tell you you're out of luck, but time is wasted. But if you've already selected a menu item and it happens to be a pork roast or a prime rib, it's your lucky day. No, I'm not going to come cook for you. But today on the Nation, that is the Barbecue Nation, we have Bruce Cakebread from Carlton Farms is going to be with us here in a minute to talk about pork roasts. And then we're going to have Will Homer from Painted Hills Natural Beef to talk to us about prime ribs. And we're going to wrap up the show with our old buddy Brent Huddleston, who, as you know, is a professional meat cutter and meat buyer. And we're going to talk about some particulars in cooking and prepping. Miss Kayleen is with us again today. So it is Barbecue Nation, and let's get going here. Hey, first I'd like to welcome to the show Bruce Cakebread. And yes, I'm not making fun of him. That is his real name. He explained the genealogy of it to us a couple minutes ago off the show, and it's cool history. But anyway, Bruce is from Carlton Farms out there in Yamhill, and we're going to be talking about some pork roast. Welcome to the show, Bruce.
Good morning, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Well, you're most welcome. I got a history lesson this morning, too. I think I'm really fascinated with that. Anyway, it's the time of year for large roasts, maybe crown roast or pork loin roast for Christmas dinner. When you guys are putting those together, you're growing the animal, you're doing all that, tell us a little bit about what people should be looking for in those and the history of, you know, what they're going to be buying in the meat case.
Well, I'll tell you, Jeff, we have our custom cutter. His name is Robert. And he has been creating these roasts for 20 years, no one better. So I've watched him do it, 100 times. And one of the things that I look for right off the top, for the quality and for the presentation at the same time, are the bones cut pretty even? You know, if you have a lot of uneven bones sticking up at the top of your crown, it doesn't look good. You can also look at the coloring of the bones. A nice clean bone is a white color, kind of an off-white. If it starts to turn gray, that means there's a little bit of age on it. You can look for the size and consistency of the loin itself, the meat, making sure that it's since it's in a circle like a crown, you can tell whether it's the same size all the way down or not. The coloring of the meat itself, you know, you want a nice bright color, usually kind of a pink color, pink to red. But those are the things that I look for right off the top just to tell me, you know, an initial quality of something.
Now, can people use a touch test? I mean, I know it's kind of hard and they don't let you, like, poke your roast in the butcher shop or something. But, you know, let's say you're just buying a pork loin. Let's skip over to that just for a second. The texture, you know, they can kind of touch it through the cellophane a little bit. Should it be firm and solid, or you don't want it squishy or anything, do you?
You know, a lot of that depends on the feed and the way the animals were raised, the leanness of the meat. Me personally, I like mine a little more firm. It doesn't fall apart quite as much when I'm cooking it.
Uh-huh.
They can definitely do that. That's not going to give them a great idea on the flavor, though. I kind of look more for the marbling. Look at the end of the package instead of the center of the package.
Sure.
And you can see little striations of fat going through the meat. If you have a little bit of marbling in there, you're going to get a lot more flavor than if it's just a solid muscle.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we look for that in the beef side, too. You know,
exactly.
You want that little those little white lines, so to speak, just kind of peeking through there, and it brings out a lot more flavor too, and you know, from the cook's point of view. Back to the crown roast, Bruce. You know, I think sometimes people don't even try to cook those because they look different and maybe they are a little hesitant to try to cook something like that.
Yeah, I've heard from quite a few of our customers that it almost seems a little intimidating.
Yes.
By looking at them. But I'll tell you, they are simple, and I can walk you through that process if you'd like.
Go do it. So easy.
So our standard crown roast is 20 ribs, which sounds huge. Average weight, probably 12 to 14 pounds, right in that area. But to cook it and to make it simple for everyone, we've actually created our own spice blend here. It's our custom spice blend called Papa Jake's. And we just recommend sprinkling the roast and even rubbing it in if you'd like. Cover the bone tips with foil. Preheat your oven to 325. And then you pop the roast in a shallow pan. Put it in the oven for about 90 minutes on 325. After about 90 minutes, you want to use a meat thermometer so that you can check the internal temperature of the roast. And once it reaches 145, which you're probably looking at about another 90 minutes or so, once you get an internal temperature of 145, take it out of the oven, let it rest for 3 to 5 minutes before you start carving it. That helps seal the juices into the meat and keeps that flavor in there. You don't want it running out on your cutting board. So that's all there is to cooking one. You can use whatever spices you'd like. You know, a lot of people have different flavors. But since I've started here at Carlton, I've become a firm believer in Papa Jake's. I've used it on just about everything.
Including your Cocoa Puffs, right?
When I eat Cocoa Puffs, yes, I have been tempted to do that.
Okay. So... can they, when they're cooking a crown roast, can they kind of, or let me rephrase that this way. Does it have to be cooked as a standalone piece of meat, or can you put potatoes or vegetables in the middle, something like that, to kind of get some of those juices in your secondary dish?
So I've seen a lot of presentations with these. We do some food shows. We also do some programming for our website. You can take, I recommend with the potatoes, if you're going to cook potatoes with it, put them on the outside of the roast so you'll get a better circulation of the heat.
Mm-hmm.
But in the center of the roast, you can take whatever type of stuffing that you would like. Me personally, I prefer a cranberry stuffing. But about an hour before the roast is finished, just fill that cavity up with the stuffing. Put your potatoes around the end and let them finish cooking, and like you said, in those juices and absorb some of that flavor.
There you go. So it's 325. Cover the tips, season it, do all that. Do you want to season it and let it stand outside like you would maybe another cut of meat, and let it, you know, put the rubs on it or whatever for, and let it maybe sit to temperature for a half hour before you actually pop it in the oven, or do you just season it and put it right
that's
in?
That's what I do. I put my seasoning on, rub it in just a little bit, and I'll let it sit for 20 to 30 minutes before I put it in the oven. Helps get the temperature down closer to room temperature right before you put it in. That way everything's a little more natural when you put it in and getting all the flavor and the juices that are coming out of it.
Okay. And do you do the same thing for the pork loin?
You do. The pork loins are looking at about 12 to 14 minutes per pound. You want the same internal temperature of 145. You can season it exactly the same. The crown roast, what that is taking two of the pork loins, the center parts, and we tie them together to form a crown. And it's a presentation. If you've never cooked one and you get it, it is definitely going to be the centerpiece of your meal. Everybody is just going to be oohing and aahing over that roast.
Which is your favorite, real quick?
I love the crown roast, especially when I'm having a big gathering. You know, I love having everybody look at the table, admire the cuts. You know, I get 100 questions at a meal. You know, who does it? How do you do it? You know, oh my gosh, it's so intimidating to cook. No, it's really not. Our cutters do a great job putting them together. We have like I said, we made the spice blend. We try to make it as easy as possible for the consumer to put on a meal that they'll never forget.
There you go. Bruce Cake Bread, our new friend here at Barbecue Nation. Great information on cooking a crown pork crown roast there. Bruce, thank you very much. We wish you a Merry Christmas. Hope you have a great week next week. And have fun.
All right, Jeff. Thank you very much, and you have a Merry Christmas.
You too. Thanks, Bruce. We'll be right back on the Barbecue Nation in just a couple minutes.
The kids, all the friends and family. As the holly's hung and the candles bright, tuning up a fiddle on a moonlit night. Roll back the rug so we can two-step round the Christmas tree.
Pretty paper is playing on the jukebox.
It's Full Flavored Radio, Barbecue Nation with JT on FM News 101.
Welcome back to the nation. That would be Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, along with Miss Kayleen, and you're listening to us here on KXL in Portland and around the Radio Northwest Network. You know, if you're planning on doing some smoking, and I don't mean your hookah, but actually smoking part of your Christmas dinner, like maybe your prime rib or something, if you've got a pellet stove, I would recommend Bear Mountain Pellets because they produce a very light, delicate smoke that does not overtake the flavor of the meat and also can add a little bit of the apple or hickory or cherry or whatever you're going to use to the flavors there. Bear Mountain Pellets have a proper mixture of base wood and flavored wood, giving you a more consistent taste. That's Bear Mountain Barbecue Pellets. You can find them at a barbecue retailer near you, or you can check them out online at BearMountainForestProducts.com. Now it is my pleasure to welcome to the show Mr. Will Homer, who is the president of Painted Hills Natural Beef over there in snowy Fossil, Oregon today. How you doing, Will?
I'm doing all right. I'm enjoying the snow.
You guys need the water.
Absolutely. I know it's been rough on the west side, and I know it's tough to take over there, but we're sure glad you're sharing it with us.
Yeah, well, we're more than happy to do that for you. Prime rib, it's Christmas time, and you guys don't have any now. It's all out in the stores or on its way to the stores, because I know I tried to mooch some off you, and I couldn't. What should people be looking for when they go to pick out a prime rib?
Oh, my goodness. It's hard. You don't get to pick it up and turn it over and poke at it like you do other things in the store.
Right.
So,
right.
I think, you know, build a good relationship with your meat manager and look for a good program to follow. You know, once you have a good solid program that you get involved with and you enjoy, you know, make sure that you go after that piece of meat you want from them. That's a tough one, but if it doesn't have some kind of program, some kind of name, some kind of somebody standing behind it, you're kind of rolling the dice, I think.
Well, we see a lot of these out there that, you know, you'll see like Painted Hills, and that's going to be in your upper end on your price range, and then some other companies, very good quality meat, same thing. But they always kind of come up with these prime ribs that are like $4.99 a pound. Oof. And, well, you see it a lot around here, and I would always recommend people to stay away from it because it might be an old dairy cow or something. I mean, seriously.
Right.
You just don't know. And if you can actually set like a Painted Hills rib roast next to one of the other ones, you can tell the difference, like in the marbling and stuff.
Yep, absolutely. Well, they take a lot of, you know, anything. There's a lot of, you know, we pick on the dairy industry, but there's just cows that are done with their lifetime, whatever their job was. You know, they always have value. They still have meat once you get it in the grinder, you know.
Sure.
And so if a cow has some marbling or some confirmation of a ribeye that looks like any other ribeye, there's value in it. And those find the street, and those get out there. And I feel a little sorry for folks who have a eating experience that's not delicious this time of year. You know, this time of year you're spending a little too much on your grandkids or your own kids or whatever, you know. Make sure you eat something good. Make sure you're going to spend a lot of money, really, whether it's $4.99 or $14.99. And just buy something that's really good. Get something that you're going to enjoy, because food is enjoyable, and food is something you talk about all the time. You know, when you go on a trip and you land somewhere and you find a new restaurant that you liked, what happens when you tell all your friends, huh?
Sure.
Food's important to us.
Well, it's important to me if you've seen me lately, but, you know.
Me too. It's the Christmas season.
It's the Christmas season, absolutely. When they go in to look, and we're going to have Brent Huddleston on here in a few minutes, but when they go in to look at a rib roast, at a prime rib, there's two things I think that people have a misconception about. One is that a lot of the ribs that they're going to buy in the stores are not actually prime.
Right.
They are not prime. And, you know, to me, choice or north of that, which is prime, is great. Anything south of that, not so good.
Right.
It has to go to what you were just talking about. And I think the other thing that people get a little confused on is the amount or the size that they should be purchasing for their family, because you know, it's a big piece of meat. A regular prime rib will weigh a whole one away, 18-19 pounds, somewhere in there, and that's a lot of meat. Of course, if you trim off the fat and all that and make it all pretty, you're going to lose a pound or two there, but not too much more. But what do you recommend, like, on average, for an average person, not Will Homer or Jeff Tracy, but like Miss Kayleen sitting across from me here, like eight ounce serving type thing?
Yeah, because, you know, again, don't get too crazy. It looks cool. The great big roast looks cool. I mean, I cook the 18-pounder just because I don't know much different. But you know, my goodness, we're gonna stuff ourselves with all the other good stuff, too, but potatoes and the gravy,
right,
and everything that goes with it. So 8 ounces is a lot. It really is a big piece of meat. I can tell you a story. It's kind of related and unrelated at the same time. I had a friend of mine who was in the hamburger business, or a hamburger joint restaurant, and he said, you know, I served everybody a half-pound burger, and I always had some burger or bun or something come back on the plate, and when I served him a third-pound burger, the burger was gone. And so it tells me that half pound of meat is just a little too much.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, half pound before you cook it down, that's a really great place to start.
Yep, I think so. So are you going to have prime rib for dinner on Christmas?
Absolutely. Well, I don't know. I don't know if I have any hid out here under a rock somewhere for me, or I might be eating strip loins, because that's the next muscle up. It's just as good.
It is.
I have to get the money where I can, sell what you can and eat what you can't.
Yeah. Yep. No, I understand. Yeah. We're doing the strip loins too. So it's all good. It's all good. All right. We got to go. But Will Homer, president of Painted Hills Natural Beef, thanks for being on the show again today. And I
sure,
want to wish you, wish you Merry Christmas and all
Merry
the gang over there.
You bet.
We'll be back in just a minute with more Barbecue Nation.
I sure do like those Christmas cookies, sugar. I sure do like those Christmas cookies, babe. The ones that look like Santa Claus. Christmas.
Way out in West Texas, where the Clear Fork waters flow, where the cattle are browsing and the Spanish ponies.
It's a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now, with Barbecue Nation, here's JT on FM News 101.
Welcome back to the Nation. That would be the Barbecue Nation, one of our Christmas shows here today on KXL and the Radio Northwest Network. I'm JT, along with Miss Kayleen Beaujolais. I want to thank a couple of our affiliates, KMED down in Medford and KACI in the Dalles. Hope you all have a great Christmas up there. If you have any questions or comments, don't send me the comments. Just send me the questions, or if you have recipes, you can do it at barbecuenation@kxl.com or at recipes@kxl.com. How's that? We're welcoming to the show right now my old buddy Brent Huddleston. He is a professional meat cutter, has been for a long time. He's also, I'm going to call him a professional cook. He's worked with me for years on events and things, and does a great job. and he's quite creative, and that's why we like him. Besides that, he's kind of fun to be around. Brent, welcome back to the show.
Hey, it's great to be back, JT.
So,
And I got to say, I've never heard that Christmas song before.
that's a true cowboy Christmas song. That is. That's Michael Martin Murphy, Susie Boggess, yeah, and a bunch of them. Waddy Mitchell's in there, Don Edwards. There's a Wiley Gustafson. There's a bunch of cowboys in that sing that song. Anyway, we talked to Bruce Cakebread, that's a real name, from over at Carlton Farms, talking about cooking a crown roast. And we talked a little bit with Will Homer in the last segment about prime rib and stuff. So let's you and I get down to the nitty gritty as far as what people should, when they get it home, what they should look for when it's being prepped, and then how to get those things in the oven and turn out a good product there. So let's start. Okay. Let's start with the crown roast with the pork. as I was talking to Bruce about it in the earlier segment, I think people are intimidated by cooking that because it's different. It's not just a hunk of meat laying there in a pan.
Yeah, it's a pretty roast, is what it is.
Yeah.
I did one for my family a couple of years back, and they didn't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
So I had to get in there and cut it up and serve it to them, and they understood what was coming out of it. But yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful roast.
Yeah, and do you sell a lot of those at the store?
No, not a lot. We sell maybe half a dozen of them a year, and we deal with Carlton Farms, and they do a great job on those crown roasts. I can't say enough about them. They're beautiful.
Yeah, well, that's where Bruce is from, so it did a good job there. So when you're prepping, let's skip over then to a regular pork tenderloin roast or something, if that's what you're going to have for Christmas. How should people be looking at picking one out and prepping it to go in the oven?
Picking one out is basically you're looking for the size that you know, how many people you're going to serve. You know, right around half a pound per person is something you want to look for. A lot of times we tie pork loins together, and it makes for a beautiful roast. We did one time for one of your cookbooks. That looked great. You just want to pick something out that's going to be sizable for you, something that you can fit in your pan. A lot of times I get customers who buy a big old roast, get home, and realize they don't have the right size pan.
Right.
So, you want to make sure you have the right size pan, get it home, season it up with your favorite seasoning. I like to rub a little bit of olive oil on mine, and that just helps the seasoning to stick a little bit better. Plus, it gives a nice little flavor to it.
Sure.
And then go into your oven, 350, and let it go from that.
What do you recommend for internal temperature? I know what Bruce recommended there. This isn't a test, but I mean, what as a professional meat cutter and a cook, everybody, you know, I'm going to say this. I'm going to preface this before you give me that answer. You talk to different people, and we certainly have done that on this show. Some people will say, well, you want it at 135. Some people will say you want it at 140. You get Christina Bowe from the USDA, who's going by their, you know, food safety guidelines, and they'll say you wanted it at 150 or something. So,
yes. So
what I'm trying to tell people here is if you're comfortable pulling a roast out and it's 145 degrees, do it. If you've done it before, and do it. If you haven't done that and you're not comfortable, you can cook it a little longer. But unless you pull it out and start gnawing on it when it's still 98 degrees in the center, you're probably not going to have any problems. Go ahead.
Yeah, and you're probably not going to feel too good the next day either.
Right.
You know, that's an interesting subject because I would be remiss to say if I did not say, you know, you need to cook it to 155 internal temperature. That's the professional service, like I should say.
Right.
But as me, as a person who also cooks and knows my idea of a great roast, you want your temperature to be between 145 and 160. 145 for pork is medium rare. And I think a lot of people overcook their pork, and that's why it ends up being a dry piece of meat. It intimidates them, and they think that they have a horrible, horrible roast there. That's not necessarily true. 145 will give you a nice medium rare. 160 will give you medium. So anywhere between that 145 and 150, 155, you're doing okay. And it's okay for your pork to be a little bit pink in the middle. I would say that is absolutely perfect for a pork roast.
Sure. I don't have a problem when I because I know some people, when they're cooking it, if they cut off a piece of a pork roast or even like a pork chop, if it's a little pink, and I don't mean red, I mean pink.
Yeah.
A light pink color. But some people, like my wife, it's not done. She wants it like that old pan-fried, dry ass, you know, stick-in-the-throat pork chop that we ate when we were kids.
Pork jerky.
Yeah, but you don't have to eat it that way. I mean, maybe that's what you like. That's fine, but you don't have to eat it that way, in my book. We got about 3 minutes left here, so before when we come back from the next segment, we will talk about the prime rib. Let's do it that way. So in the meantime, let's do a couple lightning round questions, Christmas questions for Brent here, shall we? Oh, Kayleen's looking for the music, so I'll keep talking until she finds the music here.
Did you get my email the other day?
Yes, I did.
Good.
The Al Capone roast.
I'm never sure when I send emails from here.
Al Capone roast is great. We'll talk about that right after. Okay, Brent. Do you have an ugly Christmas sweater?
I do not. Actually, we're going to have an ugly Christmas sweater theme a couple years ago in our family, and I had to go shop for one and could not find one.
Ah.
So I went and borrowed one of my brother's regular sweaters.
Okay. So what's your favorite protein for Christmas dinner?
Oh, Christmas dinner? I'm a big prime rib fan. I love prime rib.
Okay. What's your favorite Christmas dessert?
Whatever's on the table.
Good answer.
We come from a great eating family, so desserts are abound, and they're all very good.
All right. What's the worst Christmas meal you ever had?
I wouldn't say it was the worst meal, but maybe the worst dish is somebody made a stuffing that was just, I thought we were going to go wallpaper the house with it. It was sticky and nasty, and some of the things I couldn't even identify in it. So I don't know if it was the classic movie where there's kitty litter in the...
Okay, well, moving on. Moving on. Worst Christmas present you ever received?
I don't think I've ever had a worst Christmas present, to be honest.
Okay.
Outside of the socks that you always seem to get every year.
What's the craziest gift you ever gave somebody?
Well, what was the last gift I gave you?
Yeah, well, that was a bottle of bourbon or something.
Well, maybe that was crazy. Yeah. Maybe it was after you drank it.
After I drank it, yeah. So you don't know, you don't have one?
I don't.
Okay. All right, well, we're going to be back.
Well, maybe I should say this, you know, because I just went shopping for my 80-year-old mom, and I felt awkward because the only thing she really wanted was a toilet seat. So maybe that's the weirdest gift.
There you go.
But I haven't given yet.
Okay, well, sit on it and think about it. We'll be back with Barbecue Nation and Brent Huddleston in just a minute. Jeez.
The music was a fiddle and a lively tambourine and a big bass violin imported by stage from Abilene. Now the room was togged out gorgeous with mistletoe and shawls.
Christmas tree, wait beneath the mistletoe, you'll never get a kiss. I never move that slow, there's too much I could miss. 'Cause a Western girl...
It's Barbecue Nation with Jeff Tracy.
Welcome back to the Nation. That would be the Barbecue Nation here on the Radio Northwest Network. I'm JT along with Kayleen. We've got Brent Huddleston on the phone. We're talking about how to cook stuff. Go figure. We'll be talking about prime ribs here in just a second, but I wanted to tell you about our good friends down at Barclays in Woodburn. They have some specials going on over the holidays and then after the holiday sales. Kind of buy a bike, get some DVDs, that type of thing. You have to go in the store, ask for Mark or Jamie, and they'll tell you about all the specials there. That's Barclays on Pacific Highway down there. So good. Don't forget, you can email us at barbecuenation@kxl.com. Okay, I'm trying to get all that little extra stuff in right now that I kind of blew off in the first couple segments. Okay, Brent, cooking prime rib. I know that you've cooked a few prime ribs because you've cooked a few prime ribs with me in your life. What is your favorite way to do it?
Well, before you start with anything, I think any home cook needs to go out and get a good instant read thermometer. And I think that is the secret with any type of roast you're doing, especially this time of year when you're spending so much money on a great roast. You don't want to go and ruin it. So the first thing you do is get a nice instant read thermometer. But when I get my roast home, I like to prepare it a good 2 hours before I roast it, even maybe the night before. And like I said, I generally rub it down with a little bit of olive oil. And then my favorite seasoning, which with that, salt, pepper, garlic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the holy, like we've talked about before, the holy trinity of barbecue.
Yeah.
You know, the salt, pepper, garlic, and because you really want to taste the flavor of that meat, you're going to do yourself a disservice if you just get all sorts of different flavors going on there. So that's the main thing I do.
Now, would you be adverse to, say, smoking your rib you have a Traeger, so you smoke it in there for a couple hours and then shift it over and put it in the oven to finish it?
You could, absolutely. You know, if you don't want to get that smoky flavor going. But the thing that I do, and I know I hear a lot of people say, well, when you cook a prime rib, you throw it in at 500 degrees, turn it down or turn it off. And I don't like messing with the temperatures when I cook mine.
No, it's too much work.
I like to put mine in at 325 and leave it. You know, because once you start messing around with the temperatures, you're allowing for a mistake to happen.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and I just, with something like that, no mistakes, just put it in, leave it alone. Occasionally, one of my secrets, I can't believe I'm going to share this with anybody, is I keep a little spray bottle of apple juice on the side.
Mm-hmm.
And every so often, I'll spray that roast with some apple juice and just, it kind of burns on there and gives it a nice little texture along with the garlic. And you got a nice crusty outside and nice medium rare in the middle. It's beautiful.
I think if folks are listening to the show, they should find there's one common denominator that we always talk about,
mm-hmm.
a thermometer.
Yes.
Every guest we've ever talked to on this show, and Kayleen's over here shaking her head, yes, they all talk about get a good, high-quality thermometer. And if you can, you know, if you can read numbers, and most of them are digital anymore, on your oven or on your barbecue, if it has a, you know, exterior thermometer, and you've got a good meat thermometer, you can hardly screw up as far as making it unedible. It might not taste good because of the seasonings you put on it or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've got those two components in your noggin and in your hand, you should be well on your way.
Yeah, and make sure you're not going to go out and grab a candy thermometer for your meat roast.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
I've seen people do that, too. It's not a good idea.
No, it's not a good idea. What I do is I use about probably a quarter of a cup of olive oil. I use some, you know, salt, pepper, garlic, like that. I also put a little marjoram in there,
mm-hmm.
and a little rosemary and a little thyme. Not too much.
But
one of the things, when you get your prime rib, if you get it home and it's tied up because they've cut it away from the bone and they've tied it up, because I do my own, so I don't have to. So real quickly, we've only got a minute left. Make sure you season between the bone and the roast, and then retie it, season the rest of it, and cook it. How's that?
Yes.
That works.
That is absolutely imperative.
Right.
And we call that rolled and tied at my shop, where we pull the bones off and retie them back on, and it just makes it easier for you, the consumer, to serve that.
Absolutely. Brent, we got to go. We got to wrap up this show. Brent Huddleston works at Market of Choice there. Music's coming up, so I guess I got to shut up in a minute. Thanks, buddy, for being on the show.
You guys have a great Christmas, right?
We will. And to all our folks out there listening, I hope this show has helped you somewhat. And I hope you all have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. A little honky-tonk there. And I'll see you in a couple weeks. Merry Christmas, Kayleen.